Hey y'all, welcome back to the RV America Y'all podcast.
I'm Stacy.
I'm Tom, and we're RV America Y'all.
We are native Texans and full-time RVers who are all about exploring America one campground at a time. We're on a mission to experience life, not just live it, and we're bringing you along for the fun.
Recording this podcast in a beautiful tiki from some of our neighbors at Motor Coach Resort St. Lucie West. This is episode 52.
And this week we are just down the street from our lot hanging out with our friends and posse members, Judy and Boyd, who are going to talk about their full-timing adventures and a lot of stories that go along with it. So sit back, relax, and join us as we RV America, y'all. Yes, we are still in South Florida for a very short period of time. Our travel season is quickly approaching.
Yes.
To which we're very excited and, well, it's always a little sad to leave here too.
Well, and stressful to get everything done at the last second.
That's a fact. And so, but before we head out, we wanted to grab a minute to sit down with our good friends, Boyd and Judy, who are also posse members. If you don't know about the RVAY posse, well, we'll talk more about that later maybe, but, and where have you been? But yes, we are here at their tiki at Motor Coach Resort St. Lucie West. So welcome to the podcast, Judy and Boyd. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so we usually like to start out with telling folks a little bit about your travels. So do you want to start by telling us what you travel in?
We've got a 21 Tiffin Allegro Red 33AA.
And that's a Class A motorhome.
Class A diesel pusher. Yeah, we bought it new. We didn't want to have problems with a used coach, so we decided to buy a brand new one and spend a year and a half fixing problems.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? But I mean, I see both sides of it. You know, we started the full-time lifestyle with a Tiffin Breeze that was used. Those initial problems were already worked out. We had a very good experience. Then with our new air that we have, we bought brand new. So we had to go through those.
Yeah. I think no matter what RV you get, I don't care how much you spend. I don't care what manufacturer. I don't care how much research you do. There's always, you know, you're always going to have things in that first year, year and a half that have to be adjusted, tweaked.
I think most people think, you know, if you haven't done it before, you think of it like a car. You went to buy a car at a dealership, and as long as you change your oil and stuff, usually you're not going to have many problems.
Right.
Right. And we didn't know what we were getting into. But I will say Tiffin was very good. They took care of us, and we have no issues. Since we gotten over the hump with it, we haven't
right.
had any
good
anything.
So did you take it back to Red Bay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
What was it about this particular model that drew you to it?
Well, we were trying to stay small so we could get in everywhere, all the state parks, all where we wanted to go. And so we were kind of settled on, you know, 35. And we started looking at this one and we thought, yeah, I think that will work.
35, okay.
Yeah, and we looked at these as well.
We did, yeah.
Because obviously this fit our footprint as well. We love Red Bay too. I mean, we're Red Bay folks. So was this y'all's first coach or did y'all?
Yes.
Wow. So y'all decided, did you decide to go full-time and get the coach all at the same time, or what was that?
We did.
Wow. So how does this come about?
During COVID, we just started watching YouTube, and we were watching people out doing things, and we're like, why don't we do that? And during COVID, I got let go. The company I worked for let go a bunch of people, and he could do his job from the road.
Oh, wow.
So we sold our condo and we bought a motorhome.
Okay.
That, I mean, we hear that story, obviously, probably more than most people hear it because we're on the road and we meet a lot of folks. I still, that blows my mind, even though we're full-time, to think you just dropped everything and decided to just go full-time. So at the time the two of you looked at each other and said, let's do this, how long did it take you to downsize and get into the motorhome?
We had already downsized once. After the kids left home, you know, we had the big old house and we used a couple of rooms.
Okay.
And the rest of it sat empty. So we sold the house and bought a condo downtown, which was a different lifestyle. That was a lot of fun. So we had already gotten rid of a lot of stuff. And so going from that, transitioning into the motorhome really wasn't too tough.
No, we had to get rid of some things yet, and our kids took some things, and we just kind of...
How long was that time frame, do you remember?
6-8 months.
Yeah, it was less than a year.
Wow, you did it pretty fast.
Well, and you had to buy a coach, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we came down to the Tampa motor coach thing, and we just looked around, and we found what we wanted, but we couldn't find one. Nobody had one.
Yeah, that was a tough time to buy one.
And when on our way home, we were searching places along the way, and we found one.
Oh,
we
how
found
lucky.
This one.
Wow, where did y'all find it?
Mount Comfort RV.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we know that place.
We know that place. Mm-hmm. We bought a motorhome from them as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's where our Tiffin Breeze came from.
Yes, that's for sure.
So you guys were living in Michigan at that point?
We were.
Okay, so you go all the way down to Florida to look, because that show is amazing.
It is.
The Florida RV Super Show in Tampa. I totally understand why. But then, so you find it. Now, had you already decided at that point that you were going to travel full time, or were you thinking, let's get into RVing and see how it goes? And
we had decided.
Okay.
We had decided we were going to do it full time. We were just going to go. I didn't look for another job, and we just did it.
Wow. I mean, that took some courage, for sure. I mean, that was a lifestyle change.
Yeah, we bought it at the end of January, and we started off in the middle of February.
Wow.
So now, Boyd, you're still working when y'all hit the road, obviously.
Yeah.
So what were you doing? What kind of work? Are you still doing it?
No, I retired. It'll be 2 years in June.
Okay.
But I was a sales guy for a hydraulic company.
Okay.
And, so you were working remotely at that point anyway, I guess, during COVID.
During COVID, you know, our customers didn't want to see us necessarily and couldn't go to the office, you know, so we were stuck at home. It worked out.
It did.
Now, when it came time to actually have to get serious and go back to work, I retired.
So this lifestyle also influenced you to go ahead and retire.
Yeah. And we were lucky enough we could do that.
Yes.
Yeah. That's fantastic. So was it when you, okay, so it's during COVID and you're thinking, okay, one of you or did you both at the same time come up with the idea of like just ditching the condo life and living in an RV, or did one of you come up with it and the other one go, you're crazy, for a couple minutes and have to be convinced?
We both agreed.
Oh.
So there was no convincing. So
you were both ready.
We were,
and it was,
yep.
That's awesome.
It.
That really is.
Now, since you were doing it, though, you're starting out during COVID, that first few months, was that challenging? Because you're now adjusting to living mobile, living remotely, Boyd's still working. Not everything is available and open during that time.
It was certainly interesting times.
Yes.
For a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, it took us a while to get accustomed to it, you know, because, of course, it's winter up north, so we had to come south.
Oh, okay.
So where did y'all start then? You beelined it south, I'm sure. So where did y'all go first?
Alabama.
Okay.
We went to the Gulf Shores area.
Oh, I love that area.
And you were able to get a spot,
yes.
Obviously, mm-hmm. even mm-hmm. at the last minute like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, how did y'all like the Gulf Shores?
Oh, we love it there.
We do, too.
Yeah, I do love that area.
From there, we came into the Panhandle and worked our way down to Fort Pierce, if I remember right. Then we went, we zigzagged around Florida that first winter.
Okay.
Yeah, so it worked out. We, you know, 2 weeks here, a month there kind of a thing. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we kind of did that for the first couple of winters, you know, and then we tried Texas one winter.
Okay, sure.
Because y'all were still getting your feet wet to RVing, too. So how long did it take you to feel like you were in a groove in this lifestyle? I mean, I don't even know if I feel like we're in a groove yet.
And we're on our seventh year. Yeah. It's full time.
Yeah. But how long till you really felt comfortable?
I was going to say, I think we're still working on it.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing with this lifestyle, especially as full-timers. You have to have a certain comfort with being a little bit uncomfortable. Always or so often we find ourselves in unfamiliar places. We don't know where the grocery store is even, you know, or we got to figure out the routes or watch the weather. This lifestyle, if you're not comfortable with being uncomfortable, it's going to teach you that at least a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Something's always changing.
You got to embrace change. That's what we tell people. If you can't embrace change, this lifestyle is not for you. Not full-time, anyway. I mean, you can still do it part-time and get away with it. The full-time lifestyle, you have to embrace change to do it safely, too.
Right. Now, had y'all been tent campers or anything before you jumped into RVing?
We did tent camp some when we had the motorcycle. We traveled on the motorcycle.
Oh, cool.
And then we had a fifth wheel when the kids were around.
Okay.
Younger.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Wow.
Weekend camping, you know.
So y'all did some camping then.
We did.
Okay.
So you were accustomed to setting up at a place and going to a state park or whatever. Mm-hmm. So obviously you said you wanted to stay small, which is what we preached from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Do y'all like to, where do you like to stay when you're not in this resort? Obviously, you own here. When you leave here, is it state parks, national parks? What do you like to stay at?
If they're available and they're on where we're deciding to go, you know, we like state parks and we like COE parks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's probably our favorite.
Okay.
But as you both know, they're not always available or you can't get a spot or.
Right. Right. A lot of the state parks we find in some of the states, they give priority to that state's residents to book before everybody, which I think is totally fair. But it does get sometimes more challenging to find a spot than as a traveler.
Yeah. And also if they don't have like full hookups, if you want to stay somewhere quite a while, you got to take that into consideration. So
that's true. Now, how long do y'all like to stay in places as you travel?
Well, we decide where we're going, and then we look what's there. Mm-hmm. And then we think, okay, so how long do you think it'll take us to see what we want to see? And that's how we do it.
Okay. Yeah.
What's a minimum stay? I mean, other than a one day just going through it, if you're going to a small town, what's a minimum stay normally?
Well, if it's on the way, it's just a couple of days. If we're going, I keep going. Other than that, we try to stay 5 days, 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
As a minimum.
What's great about that is it gives you time to explore, maybe take some day trips even to kind of spread out from that area. Gives you some downtime too.
Right, because as you know, we got to do other things that everybody else does. We got to do some laundry. We got to scratch.
Speaking of the laundry, do y'all have a washer and dryer?
We do.
Okay.
That was a requirement.
Yes. Well, especially starting out during COVID. You know, we found that because we were full-time already during COVID, we didn't have a washer and dryer during that time because we had our Tiffin Breeze. And the 2017 Breeze, that wasn't even an option. It was challenging during COVID to find local laundromats that would welcome you in necessarily.
Well, and that we felt comfortable going in, too.
Right. So then, okay, your first couple years traveled. Have you seen a lot of what you wanted to see so far? Have you hit most of the country? How's that gone for you?
We have a lot left.
Yeah.
We haven't went out in the West yet, so that's on our list.
Okay.
We kind of have stopped along, so Texas up to Minnesota. So everything west of that we haven't been to.
Okay.
At least not in the coach.
Okay.
We have traveled before that. Mm-hmm. On different things, you know, motorcycle, car, you know. Mm-hmm. This year we're going to knock another one off. We're going up to the Northeast, going up to Maine.
To
Acadia. Yeah.
And, I can't wait to pick your brains on that one because we haven't done that yet. Yeah. And so do y'all set out each year trying to just go places you haven't been? Or what does that look like when you first start thinking about where you might go?
When we can. I mean, when he was working, we kind of had to be in a certain area. But other than that, now we sit down and we go, okay, what do we want to do? Is there somewhere we need to go? What's on the way?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how we figure it out.
Okay.
Now, this year, there's nowhere we needed to be. So we decided we'll do the Northeast and see what we can see.
That's awesome.
See the things we haven't seen before.
Yes.
So y'all own a lot here at Motor Coach Resort. Now, why did y'all buy a lot? What prompted y'all to say, hey, let's get a lot now that we like this lifestyle?
Well, when we started, we always had intended to have a home base somewhere. We weren't sure if it was going to be up north and stay there in the summer and travel in the winter, or park it in the winter like we're doing and travel in the, we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But after being out for 3 years, we figured out we want to be down here in the winter.
Right.
Because it's pretty nice.
You know, that's a fact.
Otherwise. It is very nice, yes.
And, that's how we ended up. We traveled around Florida to some different areas, and we like this area. Our oldest son lives in the general vicinity.
All nice.
Right. How perfect is that?
Was an attraction, of course, and, it worked out. Yeah.
Now, what does the family think of y'all ditching the condo and traveling all the time?
Well, when we first mentioned it, they thought we were joking. Our kids were like, yeah, right. And then when we really got serious and they seen that we bought a coach, they were like, what are you doing?
Well, I mean, I get it. But now, 3 years down the road or whatever, they're probably good with it now.
They're good with it, yeah.
Do you have any other kids?
We have a son up in Michigan.
Okay. So do you get up there with the coach from time to time?
Yep. We try to get there every year and see him. And his
we
wife,
do
him and
there.
His wife. Yeah, we have. Yes, we have gotten there, and they've come to visit. Sometimes we were other
great.
Places. So,
have they ever come down here?
No, they didn't make it this year. They had plans to, but something happened, and they missed it. But it'll be on their list next year.
Good,
yeah,
because they can kill two birds with one stone.
Yep,
with your other son being here. So,
yeah.
That's great.
Well, you know what I find that a lot of people tell us is when their kids are spread out like that, that's one thing they love about being RVers is it makes it easy to get to see everybody on a regular basis.
It does. It does make it very easy. We just make it in the plan, usually, to get there and spend some time.
Sure.
And it's quality time from what we see on our side is... And especially now that you have your coach, you can go up there to Michigan and stay in an RV resort. Your son doesn't have to worry about you staying with him.
Right.
And so then every time you're getting together, it's quality time. It's not stressful. Oh, gosh, Mom and Dad's been here for 6 days.
Yeah. Yeah, we're up around for a month, you know, and they're busy too. So it makes it, because they're not on vacation. So
right.
We get to see him a few times.
And you're exactly right. I mean, it's the same way when we're back in the Houston area. That's where, you know, Grammy Kay is and our son and brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews. And, you know, everybody's working or got their own stuff going on. And so we can just kind of fit into that when people have time. And it's not like we're just there 2 or 3 days and having to squeeze everything in.
Yep.
So I think it makes it much easier.
Yeah. It does.
I think that's probably a hidden secret that most people probably don't think about with a full-time lifestyle, that actually you can get quality time with family because you could go to different parts of the country and stay for a little bit of time, but not be in their business, but be close.
Yeah, right. We've gotten to see family quite a bit and old friends. We went through places where we have lived something. And we got to see old friends that we hadn't seen in a long time.
That's awesome.
So that was fun.
We've done that as well. And that's definitely a bonus.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
So on your travels now, since you've gone full time, what is the best thing you think you've ever done? I mean, it's one of those that if someone says, you know, where's the best place you've ever gone to?
And I know that's a very tough question.
It is really tough. But I do love the beach. So I'd probably, for me, it's really like Gulf Shores.
Okay. Yep. Oh, I love Gulf Shores.
You know, and being able to, you can bike, you can be at the beach, you can stay close and it's nice.
Yes.
And you have other stuff there to do if you want to. So I'd probably have to pick there.
I would say the Motor Coach Resort.
Okay. That's a fair answer.
It is nice to have somewhere to go and to be able to be here and just down. You can have downtime. It's like,
yes.
You don't have to plan. You don't have to.
Yeah, well, and that's a fact.
I want to say, though, Judy says downtime, but I see Judy on just about everything that goes on in this resort. So I don't know about downtime.
Well, I guess what I mean is you get a break from the planning and the driving. And the
I agree. Yeah. And the constant moving.
Yes.
Yes, I agree with you. But yes, Judy is very active.
And that's great. That's what's awesome about this lifestyle here in the Motor Coach Resort is you can do as little or as much as you want to.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of activities, you know, golf and pickleball and just everything.
Now, Judy, you didn't start playing Mahjong until you were here, correct?
No, I played for a year.
Oh,
before.
You did play before. Okay.
Yeah. Some place we stayed, I learned when we were doing a season somewhere else, and I learned. So
okay.
I knew how to play when I got here.
Okay, all right.
But a lot of people, we've taught a lot of people here.
Yeah, that's which, something that's on our list for
yes,
sure.
Yes, it is, for yep. sure.
Boyd, do you play Mahjong?
I don't.
Yeah, I guess you'll have to teach all of us one of these
yep.
days.
Well, I finally bought a set, so I actually
okay.
can do so.
Yay.
Yeah, we love
and Judy's Mahjong group, I got to tell you, it's I felt bad for them this year because I'm in the ukulele group, and which I don't know if I've told you guys. Yes, I've started playing ukulele, and that's something we can learn here.
Yeah.
And but when I first joined, we were meeting in the clubhouse twice a week, and that's also when the Mahjong group was playing, and we were trying to be in the same room, and here these poor folks are trying to concentrate, and we're just playing, strumming and singing, and and at the time, I knew the C chord, so.
It had to be a little distracting.
So we've started rotating amongst tikis for the ukulele group.
We've also adjusted. Tables. We've moved things around a little bit, so that's easier for someone else to have part of the clubhouse.
Right. And, you know, that's the great thing, though, is, you know, we know folks here who, well, you guys do the bike club, I think, don't you?
We did this year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the bowling and the darts and the water aerobics,
yep.
yoga, I mean, pickleball. There's just all kinds of activities.
For sure. Golf.
Bocce ball, tennis.
Yeah. Yep. So, and that was one of the things that was high on our list when we decided to look for a resort to buy in because of the very thing you mentioned. It's nice to be able every so often to stop the wheels. If you want to change your plans mid-season, you don't have to have reservations anywhere or try to find reservations at the last minute. You can just change directions
yep.
and you have a place to go. But it was going to be a couple things that were real important for us is, number one, that it's in a location where there are things to do outside of the resort, restaurants or activities that we wanted to see, maybe museums, beaches, hiking trails, that type of thing.
Baseball.
Baseball, yes, exactly. Just a minor point for us.
A minor point, yeah.
But also that there were that it was an active community.
Yes.
And that we could try to live a healthier lifestyle, and we would be encouraged to do that by the surroundings. So,
yeah, but there is a lot to do here, and like you said, you can do it all or none.
Right. Exactly. And I love that.
I do, too. I do, too. So now let's ask the tougher question.
Uh-oh.
What has been the biggest challenge that you've seen since you've gone full-time?
For me, it's probably just dealing with problems, like the problems with the coach.
Okay.
I think it's been a learning experience, and as you said, uncomfortable.
Yes.
And so getting out of your daily routine and things go wrong and you're like, now what are we going to do? And I think that's the hardest for me.
Yeah, travel days are always kind of tough for some reason. You know, whether it's the weather or whatever it might be. You know, it seems like there's always something that makes you on edge a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that took a long time to get used to.
Yep.
You know, and driving the coach, of course, are not used to that. You know, it took a while to get the hang of it and get used to it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, once you get over that hump,
right?
You know, it's really pretty routine.
So what does a normal travel day look like for y'all?
Well, I'm good for 300 miles.
Okay.
You know?
So you're good for
more
about...
More if I have to.
No more than 6 hours, probably.
Right, yeah.
Five, 6 hours.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, along that way, we stop at least a couple times.
It depends on, you know, are we on the interstate or are we on back roads?
Right.
Mm. Are we driving in 20-mile-an-hour wind or is it nice, you know?
Yes.
Obviously, if the weather cooperates, you can make a lot... You can drive a lot further.
Right.
Without getting tuckered out. But.
So do y'all like to plan all of your stops ahead of time and book everything in advance? Or do you like to just wake up in the morning and say, what direction are we going to go?
Yeah. That's the easier way to do it, for sure.
It is. And even now, we haven't completely finished our plan for the summer, and I'm like, we need to get this done.
Oh, I'm so with
you. We need to get this done.
I am so every day.
I could fly by the seat of my pants.
So could Boyd.
Yeah.
No. It makes me so uncomfortable.
Yes. That would not work. No.
In fact, you know, now there was a year, I guess 2019, we did a lot of, it was our first year, full year as full-time RVers, and we stayed most of the year in Texas, kind of trying to get used to living in the motorhome, because I think there's definitely an adjustment period that everybody needs to give themselves. But we did a 3-month stint with Grammy K, where we went up to North Dakota and we went to several national parks, Theodore Roosevelt National Park. We went to Devil's Tower that year. We went to Yellowstone and Grand Teton. Went to our first couple rallies. And there were several points along the way that year that we did first come, first serve camping. And particularly because back then, if you wanted to stay in the national parks, everything was first come, first serve. And we did okay. Everything worked out. It was fine. But I always worried when we got up that morning, when do we need to leave? What if we run into issues along the way and we get delayed? What if we get there and there's nothing available? You know, it's like these things start spinning around in my head.
Yeah. We've had a couple of times where we were going to stay, maybe just stay at a casino or something and boondock or whatever. And then you get there and you just don't like it for some reason. Right. And it's like, okay, now what are we going to do? Generally, we have a backup or something, but not always.
Right.
Not always. You know.
But it's always worked out.
It has. Yeah. It has worked out.
I guess it's, and Boyd, hopefully you get this way here in the near future, is that back when we were part-timing, the worst day for me always was the day we were leaving the state park or whatever, and we got to pack everything up, and we're heading back home, and it was never a good feeling. It was
always womp, womp.
But now, in the middle of our travel season usually, I get in that rhythm where I'm like, I'm ready to go to the next place because the next place is a new adventure. You know, mm-hmm. I'm now to the point where I hardly even think about the driving of the coach. We check the weather and, you know, we make sure of all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I get in the mindset of, wow, we're going to a new place we've never been to before, and I'm really looking forward to getting there. So it's a little different mindset than when you're part-time versus being a full-timer. When your adventures change with every stop.
I think what's helped, too, this is the first winter we've sat for this long.
Okay. Yeah.
Or the first time since we've been in the RV. And so it's given us a chance to, you know, kind of unwind, exhale. Yes. Yeah, there you go. And that's been helpful. So, you know, we're looking forward now to hitting the road again, which I'll admit there for a while last summer, it wasn't always fun to hit the road again. So it was nice being able to.
Well, I think people don't realize that aren't doing it or haven't done it. Planning fatigue and travel fatigue are very real things. And
no
matter what you have planned, no matter what, if you're going to like your longest bucket list destination that you've looked forward to your whole life, there comes a point in your travels, especially when you're moving for a long period of time very frequently, that you just go, oh, can I just see that another time?
Yes, we have had that happen. Yes, or we had tickets for something ahead of time, and we got there, and we're like, oh, really? I really?
Yeah.
And I never would have expected that.
Well, I've said it before, but probably on the podcast, probably several times, but when you're part-timers or when you take a vacation, when you're working and you're living at the house, you immerse yourself into where you're going for that week that you're there or whatever. And it can become a trip that you never forget for the rest of your life.
Yep.
But in this lifestyle, you do so much of that that we could hit national park after national park after national park, and then all of a sudden I go, oh, my God, was that Yellowstone or was that Grand Tetons? Or they blend into each other. It doesn't give our brains long enough to totally soak everything in. It's really an interesting feeling. But it's beautiful. You love seeing it. You love being there. But 3 months later, you go, well, wait a minute. You know, it's not the same in that memory cell that you had when you were younger and you had the kids, and it's a trip that you'll never forget.
Yeah, right. And I think there's just so many things in a span.
Right.
It's just too much.
Yeah,
the memory, sometimes. Your memory, it's just like a memory or a hard drive on your computer. It runs out of space. I mean, you sometimes
got to... I'm out of RAM.
Yeah, you got to try to clear out some of that memory. But it's all, most of it's great memories. It's just becomes too
much. My cash is full.
Yeah, my cash is full. It's a weird, I know most people are thinking, oh, come on. You're going to complain about traveling all the time. And it's not a complaint. It's just, it does happen. And then your mind really gets stuffed, like you said, and then fatigue can set in and it's like, oh gosh. Do I really have to go to the national park today?
Yeah, I know. It's just whatever you're doing, you know, yeah, it's like, exactly. Really, I don't want to go. But
sometimes you just have to slow down.
Yeah,
that's right.
You're right.
You have to have days in between where you're doing maybe nothing.
I agree.
Yep.
And you have to take lots of pictures or, you know, you can look back at your plan, what you did. And
now, do you take notes or do you journal about the places that you've been? Or
I did the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just got too much because I was just too detailed. And I just said, oh, this is too much.
Yeah.
So now I take as many pictures and then we'll look back and kind of see what
it's the good and bad about what we do.
Yeah.
The bad is that we're having to, every place we go to, we have to research, we have to film, we're documenting it. And that can become very cumbersome, obviously. But the good part about that is 3 months down the road when we decide to put that video out, we go, wow, yeah, it reminds us of those things that we had even forgot. Was that really that park? I always say that when we get done doing this lifestyle, I can see Stacy and I popping the biggest bucket of popcorn you've ever seen, sitting on the couch and binge watching our own videos just to see all the stuff that we've been to and experience it again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what's cool about what you guys are doing. You know, whereas we've got pictures.
Yep.
But we don't have video. We don't have, you know, any recordings of what the experience was like, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But we got you guys.
We appreciate that.
That's what your phone is for.
We've taken some videos, a few I have here and there. For the most part, it's just pictures.
Yeah.
How do
yeah.
you share it with your family?
Well, our kids sometimes will look at our pictures. Uh-huh. Or when we're talking to them on the phone, when we, and we'll tell them what we've done or what's going on.
Yeah.
They're not that interested.
Well, I mean, that's fair.
I mean, they're like, sure, you're doing that. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just we talk about it. The first year they looked at a lot of pictures, and this time they're like, after that they're like, really? You can just kind of tell us as we talk to you, and then we'll enjoy it while you're enjoying it.
Sure. So yeah, I get it. They're like, really? How many places are you going to?
Yeah. Just too many.
Yeah.
Too
many no, I get it. I get it. So now do y'all set out to go to a certain number of states every year or a certain number of places or?
No, we don't. Usually we just kind of talk about what our middle point is, whatever it's going to be in that year, and then we'll find places on the way and then on the way back.
Okay.
And that's how we do
it. And do you have a certain, now that you own this place, now this is the longest you've sat, mm-hmm. going forward, do you think you're going to have a certain period of time that are your, is your dedicated travel season, or is it going to look different every year, or how do you see that playing out for you?
I think it'll be different every year.
This year, we decided to pick some events to go to. We're going to go to a NHRA drag race.
Oh, how fun is that?
Oh, wow.
We're
going
to go to a sprint car race. So we picked out some destinations. Yep. And then we fill in the gaps in between with whatever that might be.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how we planned this year, was around events that we were planning on going to.
And I see us doing more of that. And so we'll the travel season will be whatever it takes to get the events in.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And then, so when you're traveling so far, is most of your travel season like 3 to 5 day stays, or do you ever stop anywhere? Like when you're in Michigan, you probably stay longer because family's up there.
We do. We tend to spend about a month up in Michigan. Maybe not at the same spot, mm-hmm. but we tend to spend about a month there. Other than that, it just depends on what's there.
Do you do any longer than a week at a time?
We can. And this year, I think we have one place we're staying 2 weeks, I think. And the rest.
Boyd's going, I have no idea.
He helps plan it, and then he forgets. But, yeah, I think that besides Michigan, I think there's only one place we're staying 2 weeks, and the rest of them are 5 to 7 days maybe something like that.
Okay.
There's a couple of them that are just a couple days, but most generally we like to stay 5 days.
Okay. And then how long is your travel season looking like it will be this year? How many months do you think you'll be going?
This time it'll be probably about 5, I think.
She almost needed 2 hands.
I know.
For that.
I know. I had to think about where we're, yeah. So this year, I think it's a little shorter season for us this year, just because this is the first year we don't have, I mean, we have somewhere to go.
Right.
And there's things we want to get done at our lot.
Yes.
So this year will be shorter.
Okay. But you can do that. And that's a great thing about it.
Yeah. And we can leave when we want, you know. And just,
right. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. In fact, we're already, we're already thinking ahead. We don't even have this year planned yet.
Nope.
But we're already thinking ahead to next year. And it's like, okay, this year's going to be a humongous travel year for us. We're going to drive more than double the miles we've ever driven in a travel year and a travel season. And it's going to be epic. However, I have a feeling we're going to be completely exhausted by the end of it, because talk about drinking from a fire hose, just amazing things coming your way left and right. So we're already kind of looking ahead to, what will next year look like. We haven't decided 100% yet, but we will probably definitely leave a little later at minimum.
There's no doubt. We will be staying here longer.
Oh, darn. What a shame.
We're going to Alaska this year, so that is, that's going to be crazy. And we
from
have,
South Florida.
From South Florida, and we have some excursions already set up to this caravan that is just, I got to say, it's stuff that I never imagined I'd ever do in my life.
Yeah.
taking helicopters and flying, and they set you on a glacier to where you get on a dog sled and you ride on a dog sled on a glacier. Aww.
Yeah. I mean, you know, things that we never in a million years imagined ourselves doing.
Nope.
But it's one of those things that this is probably a once-in-a-lifetime trip for us in the RV. We might, you know, we could see ourselves going back on a cruise at some point, maybe seeing different things.
Yep.
But in the RV, to drive all the way up there and around, probably, you know, once-in-a-lifetime. And so we want to pack as much in as we can in case we never get back that
right.
way.
Yeah.
I feel like we can get to Nebraska a little easier than Alaska.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we're going to come out of it with a little bit of content.
I think you will. We've known a lot of people who've went there and seen a lot of pictures as they were traveling, and there's a lot to see.
Oh, well, since you're on the posse, you'll be able to see us almost on a daily basis, which... We're going to kind of try to take everybody in the posse along on the travels. We don't know. We're going to try to post 3 or 4 times a week, small videos.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah, real time, driving, seeing what the roads are really like.
Yeah.
You hear so many stories.
What's it like getting into Canada, especially this year? You know,
Things have changed.
Yeah. Yes, they have. So. And what's it like, you know, getting into Alaska with the pets?
Yeah.
Because that... There's restrictions on that that there didn't used to be.
Yeah.
And what are the roads, like I said, really like? What's the weather like? Because we're going up early.
Yeah.
So we're a little bit nervous because we have friends that are in Spearfish, South Dakota right now. And she sent me pictures yesterday of all the snow that's sitting around their Dutch Star. And
But
we're going to be there in a couple weeks, so on the way up.
And she's from Minnesota, so like y'all, it's like snow for her is nothing.
Right. Yeah, this time of year up there, you just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, so you know,
we've traveled up that area in April and even May.
Yeah,
and it's touchy. And it's hard to find places to stay.
Well,
yeah,
we were in northern Michigan.
And I haven't figured that out yet.
When was that? We were in northern Michigan.
That was a couple years ago.
First week of May.
Mm-hmm.
First week of May. Yeah. And the first day we went out, it started sleeting on us.
Yeah.
And
we still stopped at the Dairy Queen for ice cream.
You're lucky they were open.
They were barely open.
They were barely open.
They had opened like the day before, I think, you know, so... but you know, it's all part of the adventure, I guess, right? And part of the challenge and part of the uncomfortableness of full-time travel is, like I said earlier, we're often in places that we have no idea what we're about to experience.
Sure.
That's correct.
No idea where anything is, no idea about local road construction other than whatever we can find through apps and online. This is just going to be like a year of that on steroids, I have a feeling.
Yeah.
But we are going to chronicle, of course, we're going to have, a ton of content coming out on YouTube. I'm sure we're going to be talking about it more, here on the podcast as well. Problem with the podcast is you can't see what we're talking about.
Right.
So for Alaska, I think, you know, we really got to focus on video. But our plan is, if you watch our videos on YouTube, then you may or may not know that those are significantly delayed. It takes time for us to edit. We always have a backlog of videos of places we've already been before that point that we want to make sure that we share. And there's security, too, you know, of sharing real time where we are. And so in our posse, though, we are sharing real time. And so we're going to have a lot more, like, real-time stuff from our travels in the RV America
Virtual
Y'all Posse.
Reality.
And we appreciate y'all so much being members.
For sure.
Thank you so much for jumping on board early and helping us kind of figure out where we were going with it. And
part of our posse party that we had here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In the resort. I forgot how many.
Yeah, we had six folks that were here at the same time and had a posse party a few weeks ago. And that was our second posse party, actually.
Yes.
Our first one was in Galveston when we had several folks in the general area. So But thank you both for being a member of that, sure. Early yeah. adopters, and giving us feedback as well, so we can always make it better.
For sure.
Yeah. You're welcome.
If you guys are when, because I know this happens, when you meet folks who are new RVers, who are thinking about the lifestyle, what piece of advice do you like to share with them?
That's a hard one.
I can't remember anyone.
Well, we have. There's a couple people we've met. They're like, we're thinking about going full time. And they're like, how hard is it?
Do I have to give up everything?
Yeah, there's things like that. And I don't know that we've ever imparted the same thing to any one of them. Usually it's just the normal things like be ready for change.
Right.
Always, always, there's always a change.
One of the big things that people always want to know is, what did you do with all of your stuff?
Oh, that's a great point. Yes. And,
for us, a lot of people store everything. Well, for us, I mean, it's just stuff, right? So we sold it. We gave it to the kids. We, whatever.
Yeah. So y'all don't have a storage unit anymore?
No.
Yep, we did the same thing.
I said by the time we wanted to use it again, I probably wouldn't even like it.
Well, exactly. Well,
and you would have paid for it five times if you put it in storage.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
So that would be one piece of advice I've given is, if you're not attached to your stuff, it's very freeing to just get rid of it.
Right.
Move into the coach and hit the road.
I agree. 100%.
Well, one more question that I've got that everybody asks us is, as a couple, you've lived your whole marriage in a house or whatever. Obviously, you each had your own jobs, but now, all of a sudden, especially with y'all, boom, you change and you're in 35 feet and 8 feet wide or whatever. What was that adjustment for you two?
It's been the most wonderful thing.
We've learned that when, things get a little tight, maybe one of us gets out and does something else, whatever it might be. Go to the grocery store, just take a walk, somebody takes a walk.
And, I get it.
It doesn't matter what it is. One goes sitting outside and the other one sits in, something like that.
Yeah, because I mean, the quarters are tight. Everybody wonders. But what I tell folks, and I don't know if y'all have the same opinion, but I honestly think it's good for a marriage. If you have a decent marriage going into it, I think it's good for your marriage, because obviously some people in a normal lifestyle, they both have two separate jobs and separate lives, and there can be friction in that kind of atmosphere when you're separated, whatever those reasons are.
Yeah.
Jealousy, whatever. But that's kind of tough when you're living together in the same
And you
space.
Can't get away.
Yeah, well, yes and no. But I mean, it's you're living so close that those things that are normally could be issues in a normal lifestyle, to me, are not issues in the RV lifestyle, because you are living very, very close.
We might have had an advantage in that I was a remote worker for many years. And him being a salesman, he was also had an office in our house.
Okay.
Oh, so there you go.
And we did, too. We worked together.
Yeah.
I think that is an advantage.
So I think
you're used to being together all the time anyway.
We were used to it a little bit. I mean, sure, there's an adjustment.
Sure.
Yep. Even then.
Right.
Now, but,
But it was pretty seamless for us.
It was. Yeah. It was pretty seamless.
Yeah, we felt the same way because we had worked together for so long anyway. Yeah.
Now, y'all mentioned earlier that you had already downsized into a condo from your house, and then you downsized again into the motorhome. Do you feel like having that condo in between helped with the pressures that come with the downsizing?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So take that step first. We know other folks that have done that, too.
Yes, we did not. We went from a 3,000-square-foot house to 300 square feet.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was a challenge, and we tried to do it fairly quickly. It's crazy because we had a 5-year plan, but we quit buying things to add to our collections, but we didn't really get rid of a whole lot until the clock was ticking, and it's like, oh, look at the time. We gotta get this done.
We probably
I don't necessarily recommend as a way to do
like
it.
Like the last, they did 6 months. That's probably realistically when we put our foot on the pedal,
right,
and started getting rid of everything and realizing we are gonna do this. And so would y'all? I mean, the two of you, if people came up and said, gosh, would you recommend this lifestyle? You know, would y'all recommend it?
Oh, yeah.
I would, yeah.
Yeah. Do you have an end date, or are you just playing it out? What do you see?
We're winging it.
Pay the man.
Well, in the back of my mind when we started, I thought 5 years.
Okay.
Well, we're in our fifth year.
That's wow. Isn't it crazy how it flies by?
It flew by, so, and so...
maybe five more years?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell.
It's
Life
hard to tell.
Takes weird turns.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad y'all are enjoying it. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
So, I guess we could sit here all day, but I know that we need to wrap things up. So, are there any parting words of wisdom for the masses out there that might be listening?
You're looking at the wrong people if you want wisdom.
I don't know about that.
I'm glad you guys are doing the Alaska trip and then being part of the posse. I'm looking forward to the videos.
Oh,
I have no desire to drive to Alaska.
Yeah,
I get that.
Ours will be a cruise.
I gotcha. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
And that's one reason why we want to really document it too, to show people that you can go up in a Class A RV. Yeah.
And what it's really like for those who never, because we realize this is something that most people will never do.
Yeah.
So we want to share that experience so that you can live vicariously. You know, even if you never do it, you will have seen what's up there and the experience. And
well, and we're hoping too on the posse that you can interact with us.
Yes.
Yep. I mean,
sure.
You see something and you go, "Hey, Tom, was that bear really only about 15 feet away?"
Right.
You know, and we'll say,
"What were you thinking?"
Yeah. And I had to change my underwear.
Well, we're looking at you two for some wisdom.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, and that's, you know, that's really kind of what started us down the road a lot of the posse, too, was the... we knew we were going to be going to Alaska. We knew we wanted to share more of the experience than we could ever possibly share on YouTube. And we knew that we wanted to build a community that could then interact with each other and us real time and share. Because, hey, we're going to put something out and somebody's going to go, "Oh, my gosh, my sister told me you need to go to Biggest Ball of Twine," which is, you know, just 4 short hours away.
Yeah. We actually seen a big ball of twine once.
That's great.
You never know. Actually, in my Google Maps, I have all the world's biggest this, world's biggest that, you know, pins. So if we're in the area, we can go and see all these biggest whatevers.
Biggest popcorn
ball. We do the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, the popcorn ball. That was
where was that? Do you remember?
Somewhere in Iowa.
Oh, we'll have to look that up.
We will. We go to Iowa pretty much every year. Yep.
It was
to see family.
It was pretty exciting.
Well, thank you guys so much for sitting down with us, for sharing your stories and your adventures and your wisdom. And again, for being posse members and just for being along with us in the community and for the ride. So we appreciate y'all and as neighbors, and we just thank you so much. And thank you for listening. And if you are new to the podcast, make sure you go to your favorite podcasting platform, whether that's Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google, whatever it looks like for you. Hit that subscribe button so you won't miss any episodes. You can always also find us on our website on rvamericayall.com. And that's where you can find links to anything and everything else we do out there, including the posse, the YouTube videos, all of our blog posts, and all of that. And I will also link in the show notes here all anything that we talked about, links to that, so you can easily find it. So make sure you jump over to RVAmericaYall.com. Until next time, y'all, safe travels.
And happy camping.
Bye.